Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another Brad and Body Podcast. Really looking forward to today. Good afternoon, Body. How are you, mate?
I'm extremely well. Really looking forward to this blitz, seeing some actions, watching some action on KO, having a look at these teams so we can make some valid observations instead of our usual guesswork. But
absolutely,
we've got a good guest.
Absolutely. We've got someone from a new team, the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers. They are in and they are back in the league, and I'm really excited. I was lucky enough to play a few games down there against some Hobart Devils they were back then, and to have them back in the league is huge. Today, well, we've got a championship winner. He won a championship with Melbourne United last year as a starter, mind you, may I add. He was actually born in Hobart, Tasmania, grew up in Adelaide. He attended college. He's played in the Southeast Basketball League. As I said, he joined Melbourne United a few years ago, started as a development player, but then became a annual player for them and started as well. And he's been fantastic. And he was their first signing for the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers. And of course, or one of the first signings, I should say. And of course, we are talking about a Hobart God with the name that he has, Sam McDaniel. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Oh, you've built that up well, mate. Thank you for that. Oh, thanks for having me.
Didn't he? I think the most relevant point, though, is are you the only person on the Tasmania Jack Jumpers that was born in Hobart, Sam?
Yeah, I believe so, born in Hobart. We've got one other guy on the team, Sire Deans, who's from Tasmania. However, I don't think he's actually from Hobart. He might be from the northwest or something. But, yeah, only one from Hobart.
So you wouldn't have been too surprised then when the club reached out to you, given that your father, Wayne, played with the Hobart Devils. So there was that connection, obviously. When did it all come about? When did they actually approach you? Was it when the club was first announced that it was coming in? Did they sort of make a feeler at that time, or did they wait till you were a free agent?
Yeah, no, so they waited until I was a free agent. Yeah, as you know, last season after the championship, the free agency period started pretty quick. I think it was like 2 or 3 days after we had won the championship with Melbourne United. And so after that, I just got on the phone with my agent and he let me know what was going on with different teams around the league and where I stood with them. And Tassie was obviously one of those teams, and it progressed from there.
Yeah, I'm interested to know, Sam. Were there, and without divulging everything, obviously, were there offers that you were seriously thinking of, or just the fact that it's Tasmania, the history that you've got, that's where you wanted?
Yeah, so long story short, there were a couple of other teams as well. But at the end of the day, it came down to, the Jack Jumpers and returning to Melbourne were my two options that suited me best at the time, and obviously ended up going with the Tasmania option and have been really happy ever since and been really enjoying it down here in Tassie. I've brought my young family down here and love the culture that they're trying to build down here, and love the coaching staff and obviously all my teammates as well. So I'm looking forward to the season.
Sam, I'm a little surprised that the Adelaide 36ers didn't make a bold play for you, given that you grew up in pretty much in Adelaide. Did they make any kind of overtures towards you? Because I'm shocked if they didn't.
So Adelaide were one of the teams that they put together something. However, I believe they already had some players in my position already signed and had already used up some money and stuff. So the offer that the 36ers put forward wasn't in the ballpark of what Tassie and Melbourne were offering. So it's kind of shut down pretty early, I guess.
Right.
Can I ask, coming off a championship where, as we said, a starter, there's not many people that can say that, a starter in a championship team. What are you looking at when you look for contracts? Is it length? Is it minutes, although you can never be guaranteed things like that? Is it financial stability? Was it, the fact that it was a new team? What goes through your mind when you're sitting there with your family thinking, this is the direction I want?
Yeah, that's a good question. For me, especially this year, so I'd been in the league for 3 years with Melbourne. I had started as a development player and then had two fully contracted seasons. And then after that, and so they'd all pretty much been 1-year deals. And so it's, for me, it's stressful every year trying to make sure that I sign another contract, and yeah. So I've got obviously an income, and you know, so you know, that's kind of stressful to sign those 1 year deals. So for me, it was about length to start off with. I wanted to sign a 2 or 3 year deal, so I had that little bit of stability in where I was going to be and what I was going to be doing for the next 2 to 3 years. And then the financial side obviously is a part of it as well. This is, it's not a game anymore, you know, it's livelihood, and I've got obviously a baby now to feed, and got my partner as well. So that came in as well. And yeah, like you said, minutes and things like that are never guaranteed, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Like to work and like to try and outwork people and absolutely earn everything that comes my way. So
yeah, and you do as well. I love the answer that you gave, how signing 1 year deals. I can say in my career, every season that I had with the Sydney Kings was 1 year deals. And I was one of those ones that it actually kept me on my toes more, because I always felt if I play harder, well, maybe I'll get more next year. Whilst it's not always about money, it is. Let's be honest, you've got a livelihood and you've got to take care of people. But it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, you're now a player that I don't know ins and outs, but you would be earning more and more because you just keep performing every year. So that would have been in the back of your mind, okay, well, I'm signing that 3 year deal, but you could have a stellar year and get more next time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can look at it both ways at the end of the day, but for me at this point in my career, like I'm 25 years old, and so when I finish this contract with the Jack Jumpers, I'll be 27, 28 possibly, and you know, hopefully going into absolute prime years of my athletic career. And so yeah, while you can look at it like that, like 1 year and then you could get more the next year, it's always important to also just secure that little bit of financial freedom for the next couple of years as well, I feel like, as well, and just know that it's also about moving as well, like moving around and
young family.
Young family, and just moving, not knowing where you're going to be the next year is it takes a toll on you. So that was important.
Yeah, well,
all right, let's go back, Sam. Let's go back to where it began. What brought you to basketball? Was it, you know, obviously the McDaniel name would suggest that basketball was sort of an inevitable path for you. But did you play other sport? How did you come to basketball yourself?
Yeah, so I started basketball when I was 14 at Southern Tigers. Before that, I was playing soccer. So I was playing soccer at No Longer, just up the road from Southern Tigers. Enjoyed it, loved it. Was kind of playing all different types of sports at school, you know, recess and lunchtime, as you do. Was lacking soccer the most, so joined a club and kind of had a falling out and just a bad experience with the coach at the soccer club. And so it kind of turned me away a little bit from playing soccer. And the basketball stadium was just down the road, so I was like, oh, I'll give that a crack, you know. So I was always pretty handy with the basketball, obviously playing it, just mucking around with my friends and stuff. And so I thought I'd give it a shot and see what the Tigers were about. And they kind of welcomed me with open arms. And once I learned the fundamentals and the basics and you know, knew how to work and what to work on, it became just very enjoyable to me and kind of fell in love with the game, as they say.
Yeah, well, I was coaching junior girls at Southern Tigers at that time, and watching you and Sam Johns together, the twin Sams, through juniors. I mean, I would get to games earlier so that I could watch the two of you guys play. Just sort of segueing away, are you surprised maybe that Sam Johns didn't crack it into an NBL team? Like, I always thought he was one of the more, the two of you were, I just looked at the two of you and thought these guys are going to have NBL careers. And for Sam Johns not to have one, does that surprise you at all?
Yeah, somewhat. Obviously, when I went to college, I was 18 and he would have been, 19 probably. So it was hard because I didn't keep in contact with him or anything, and I kind of wasn't keeping up with basketball in Australia when I went over to the States. So I had no idea what he had going on. But yeah, as you say, like as a junior growing up, you thought he might have ended up playing NBL and stuff. And he might, I think he's playing footy at the moment.
Yes, he is.
but it was always kind of tough because he was one of the guys who kind of got really tall really early.
Yeah.
So he was always physically stronger and bigger than most of the players playing juniors. And so kind of when everyone caught up, it was might have been a bit of a change for him and a struggle for him. I'm not sure exactly, but
yeah,
that's probably my guess. But I'm sure he's enjoying whatever he's doing at the moment. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So college for you, how did that come about?
Came about through Rashad Tucker, who I'm sure you probably know.
Right, yes, yes.
Yeah, so when I started playing a couple of years down the track, I met Rashad and he kind of worked me out and just helped me with my game and what I needed to work on to take the next step. And he also had some college contacts, and so he suggested that I go over there and give it a shot and see how it went. So he sent me to a junior college in Iowa called Southeastern Community College, which he actually attended as well. It's in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of Iowa, near cornfields, not a whole lot to do. I think it was about 20,000 people.
Yeehaw!
In the city. So it was challenging, man. For 2 years, snow up to your knees and just absolute kind of miserable, to be honest. But it was a good environment to work on your game. So that was a positive I took from it. From those 2 years in Iowa, and then I went to a 4-year school, Louisiana Monroe, where the weather was a lot better down south, and it was a bit more enjoyable for me socially as well. So those were my 4 years.
So basically, Iowa got you ready for Tasmania.
Yeah,
we're talking weather here. We're talking weather.
Yeah, not impressed at all with the weather down here.
I just also apologize for Boddy saying yeehaw? All right, I don't know where that's come from, Sam. I'm so sorry, mate.
I was going to let it slide, but you brought it up. Yeah, don't do that again.
What took you then? So then you transferred, is that right, to Louisiana? So just tell us a bit there.
Yeah, so junior college is basically a two-year deal.
Right.
And so after that, you can transfer to NAIA or Division II or Division I or whatever. So, it's pretty much just a transfer. And we had two options coming out of Southeastern Community College, and one was in New York and one was in Louisiana. And funny enough, I went on a visit to both schools, and Louisiana was hot and New York was freezing cold. So I chose Louisiana.
That answered that one.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a good... It was a good time down there.
When was it? And then obviously I know you then, coming back to Australia, but I just want to ask, when was it, and it might have been before the college career, that you knew, yeah, this is going to be what I want to do for my life career type thing? When did that come about?
Yeah, it was around the time I met Tuck, honestly, because he gave me the confidence and he kind of told me like, yeah, you're not obviously not where you need to be, but you've got the right work ethic and you show up every day and you try and get better. And so if you just keep doing that, you're physically, you got, physical tools and gifts to where you can, make some money playing basketball. And so I believed him and I trusted him because he had been down that path as well before. And he's speaking from experience. So I kind of at that point believed in myself and told myself like, yeah, all I need to do is outwork people and keep moving up the ladder and keep grinding, and hopefully good things will come. So that's kind of when 16-17, right before I went to college, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna give college a crack, and hopefully afterwards I can make it my job, and thankfully that's what happened.
Well, you took good advice, because unless I'm mistaken, and I'm not, Rashad Tucker still holds the record for the most triple doubles by any player in the NBL. I can't remember what that actual figure is, but I know that he leads by a long way from whoever is in second place. So obviously his pedigree was good. His advice was good. Quick question for you. Adelaide 36ers, that would have been your home team growing up as a kid, the team that sort of seems like the obvious one that you would go to. How did it happen that you didn't end up under Joey Wright, but you ended up under Dean Vickerman? How did that happen?
Yeah, I believe, now this is going back almost 4 years ago, but I believe that happened because, most of the offers on the table were for development players. And to be honest with you, Melbourne offered me the most money, like the highest amount you can as a DP. So For me, it was kind of a no-brainer, and I knew it was a good program that had just won the championship. Although, like you said, you're right. You know, you always want to come back to your hometown and play. I would have loved to have played for Adelaide, but yeah, coming out of college was broke, had no money, and so going into that little DP contract and a team full of veterans where I knew I could learn and experience things from their eyes was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah. I want to try and get into your head a little bit, because you've come from that development player to the bench player to the starter player. Did you feel every day at training was, I need to show that I can do this? Because that's what it looked like when you're on the court. You just, to me, you just looked like a player. I don't want to say you got something to prove, but it just came out that way in a good way.
Yeah, no absolutely. You got to attack it with that mindset. You know, the moment you stop thinking that you have anything to prove, I feel like you may start to decline. So
yep.
For me, it's always just going 100% every day. And our coach right now talks about, you know, how do you want to be looked at by your teammates? And you know, are you a guy that they can trust with the ball, without the ball, and just to come in every day and just give their all? And I think that speaks to me because, yeah, like you can't be up and down. You know, if you're having a bad day, you gotta still talk, you gotta still hustle, you gotta still do the little things. We're gonna help the team at the end of the day. It's not about anything individual. So to answer your question, yeah, always kind of play with a chip on my shoulder and try and prove that I belong, and hopefully it keeps you in the league for a while.
So now you're in Tasmania. You're with this totally new team. Everybody's come in from somewhere else. How does it feel? How's the preparation been? Are you confident about what you're able to do? I mean, we'll find out very soon. Obviously, we're going to see the blitz and the season not far from starting. But how's the atmosphere? How does it feel down there?
Yeah, it's buzzing down here, to be honest. We've been doing a whole bunch of camps and traveled up to the Northwest a few weeks ago and just reached out to the community. And yeah, there's definitely a buzz around town about the Jack Jumpers, and obviously having the blitz. You know, half of the teams in the league coming down here is exciting as well.
Yep.
And yeah, just with the team, we're excited to get this thing going. It's been a long time coming. There's been a lot of, you know, other things to do around here to do with the team, which aren't actually playing basketball. So it's going to be good to actually just be, you know, get out there. And we've got a new arena as well. Yep. Hopefully they pack it out, and yeah, it'll be a fun time.
I'm just looking at the personnel. There seems to be a lot of players in the group that have something to prove. That do that, you know, getting an opportunity like a Will Magne, a Fabian, you know, yeah. McVay. There's a few guys there, Jared Weeks, that are sort of like Besto, that are like getting a second chance. So, what is the atmosphere like at training? Like comparing it to United, where you've got veterans, where you've got championship winners, where you've got a certain degree of understanding of what it's going to take to be successful. What is that like? You know, what is your comparison of the two teams? What differences and similarities do you see?
Yeah, it's actually a good question. So like you said, United is pretty cemented at the moment, and even when I came in, they just won. And like you said, they've got a whole bunch of veterans. They've got their culture in place. They've got their system. They've got everything that they do. All the coaches are set. And so there wasn't much to be tweaked. There wasn't as many meetings, you know, anything like that. And so coming into this new team, like you said, it's not only it's 15 different guys who may or may not have met each other before. And so we've got a bond on that level. We've also got to try and build the club up and build a culture that can be carried on for years. And you know, we may not see the rewards this year or the next year or whenever, but at the end of the day, it's all building towards winning, which I think is important. And yeah, like even from a personal standpoint, my role is a little bit different. I'm a bit more of a leadership role with this team. I think they, like you said, see the fact that I was with a winning team last year, and they willing to listen to ideas and just thoughts that I have and stuff. And so it's a little bit different than kind of just being an afterthought, not an afterthought, but, you know, having a whole bunch of winning veterans on your team already. So,
well, it sounds fabulous. I want to talk about Scott Ross. Now, obviously, we saw him sitting there in Perth, and I don't want to say, you know, didn't know a lot about him, but I will be honest and say, you know, he's in the background there with Trevor, and, you know, he's played 160 games in the NBA. Talk to us a little bit about him. What's his style? How's it been with the team, and what's the feeling?
Yeah, he's good. I love Scott. He's been straight up from day one, telling all of us that we need to earn everything that we get with him, and telling us that we need to play defense. He's definitely a defensive minded coach, which I love. You know, he always tells us that we're going to have, that there'll be opportunities to mess up on offense. You know, you're going to miss shots. You're going to, you know, turn the ball over at times and do what, but there's not going to be any leeway on defense. And I think that's important. He's definitely a player's coach. He likes to joke around, and yeah, obviously, like you said, he used to be a player himself, so he understands it from our perspective. And yeah, he's big on culture and making this thing about Tasmania. You know, it used to just be Hobart Devils, and so he's made a point and worked very hard to get across to all different points of the state and let them know about what we have going on down here in Hobart. And he's been amazing.
It seems really professional. Like, I saw Jacob has come across from an assistant coach to here, and then you've got Mark Radford, who I know of and is very good, Jack Fleming. But I also love the fact that Mika Fekona, now you're trying to build a sort of that aura and that culture. You're not going to get anyone better than Mika Fekona being a consultant.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's kind of he's been back and forth a little bit from Brisbane. I think he's got a house or a family or something up there in Brisbane. So he hasn't been with us the whole time, but he actually just got back down to Tassie at the start of the week. And so, yeah, just having him back here for the last few days has been big. You know, he is definitely a culture guy, and he brings that winning culture, I guess, to the team. And he's always got a smile on his face and just always helping out. So
brilliant.
Big time having him on the team.
Yeah, he's got a smile on his face, Sam, because he's going back to Brisbane in the warm weather.
Yeah, exactly. He gets to mix it up a little bit. My way stuck in the freezing cold.
Yeah. All right, we want to ask you a couple. We're just going to throw some names at you. This is sort of what we like to do at the end of an interview, is just throw some names at you, and you can respond with a one-word answer, a one-sentence answer, or an anecdote if you have one. Any one of the three is an acceptable reply. I'll start it off. The first name I'll throw at you is... and the first thought that comes to your mind, here it comes, Jock Landau.
Winner.
Nice. Okay, I'll go the next one. Chris Golding.
Leader. I'm probably just going to answer with...
No, they're good. They're good.
I don't know if you're waiting for stories or not.
No. Or any good stories, absolutely. But no, keep going.
Okay.
All right, here you go. Dean Vickerman.
Players, coach... Winning coach.
Yeah, well, that was five words, but on.
Yeah. Oh, you said a sentence too. So.
All right.
I'm getting David, closer.
Someone who I love dearly. I actually coached him for a little while, but still going around. A grandpa of the team, David Barlow.
Oh yeah, David Barlow is incredible. An ultimate professional. You know, he's like everyone's long lost uncle, really. He's just always there for you, and just super smart, super professional, amazing to have on your team.
And you know that if he's listening now, he'll be stretching, watching, listening to this.
Exactly. That's the story I have about Barlow right there. It's just that he stretches every single day, all day, every day.
So. I remember I was coaching one time, and I took him out, only for like a minute, and then you know, he's down there on the bench and he's stretching, he's doing, I went down, are you all right? He's like, yeah, why? It's like, mate, he just like the stretches that he was getting in is not what normally happens when you come off on the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I do know one person who stretches more than him, and it is actually my father, Wayne McDaniel. Anytime you take him anywhere, he'll be, whether it's a game, whether it's a supermarket, whether it's the shopping center, he'll be somewhere where he shouldn't be stretching. So
can I just say though, I watch your dad and I see him on social media and watch him. If that's what it takes to look like what he looks like and still goes, mate, I'm going to be stretching every minute of the day. He looks amazing.
We're going to have him on in a couple of weeks, actually. So that should be good. Yeah. All right, got one more for you. Mitch McCarron.
Yeah, he's big time, man. He's incredible. I think LA is going to absolutely love him as a leader, as a player. And yeah, they'll enjoy his flashy, unnecessary passes.
I said that just sounded like Dean Pickerman talking out of your voice.
No, Mitch McCarron will throw you away behind the back pass when you're about 2 feet away and there's no one near you. So I love Macca. He's amazing.
Great guy. Okay, last one I want to throw. David Anderson. He's just announced his retirement. What a career. And you can finish off with him.
Yeah. DA's another one who I think sort of helped us win, even though, you know, he obviously didn't give a lot on the court. He just his practice stories about winning really helped us there at the end of the season with experience. And wish him all the best. He's had an amazing career, like you said. And that's about all I got for DA.
Yeah, no, that's great.
That was plenty. That was fun.
That's plenty and good enough. Sam, thank you so much. Like I said at the beginning, we really looked forward to having you on this pod. Love the fact that Tasmania in. I think you open up on Sunday, don't you, against Brisbane, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, well, we wish you all the best for that and for a great season. Congratulations on the 3-year deal, which was thoroughly deserved. Thank you so much for coming on, and we've loved having you on here and your stories.
Oh, amazing, man. Thanks for having me, and all the best, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam. Cheers, mate.
Yet another good one, mate. That was great. What a level-headed guy. He's a good pickup for Tasmania, what you would want when you're building a team from scratch.
Yeah, we've had some nice things happen in the last couple of weeks. I mean, the way that group's coming together, I'm hoping that they're very competitive. Mm. And I like the fact that when we spoke with Mitch McCarron, he was high in his praise for Mitch because Mitch is the new captain of the Adelaide 36ers.
Yeah, that was announced this week. I mean, to me, a no-brainer because, you know, like they've gone hard and they've recruited him and they wanted him and that's what he should be rewarded with. And I love the fact that, you know, he's standing next to me and he'll still throw behind the back pass. I love that stuff. That's great. Mate, we're starting.
Hang on, just quickly, before we get off Mitch McCarron, did you not say at the start of last season that you didn't think Mitch McCarron and Shea Ely could carry the point duties for the eventual champions? Or did I just imagine that?
So preseason starts tomorrow.
Yeah, moving around.
No comment. Preseason starts. Can't wait. I think this is going to be fabulous. It's around. Now it's over a number of venues, as we know. So it'll be in Melbourne and Tasmania to start with. Then there's some games in other venues in Tasmania and Illawarra and so on and so on. Just throw it out there. Who do you think is going to win it? We've gone through, obviously, our 10 teams and where we think people are going to finish. We did that. And please, if our listeners are not sure, go back to the other pods. We did them in 2 5-team segments and have a crack at that. What are you thinking, mate?
I think right now I'm looking for who would have the most established core group to work with because, you know, preseason is about finding your identity, mm-hmm. finding your roles. All right, he's not going to be as good as a starter as he is coming off the bench and that sort of thing. You know, it's all sorting that out. So you can't read too much in it. So what the teams that have the advantage are the ones that have retained a big part of their previous group. So I like Illawarra for this.
Yep.
You know, I think they're going to be right up there. And the other one I like is Southeast Melbourne because, again, there's a great chunk of the core is still in place.
Nice.
And then, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing New Zealand and Adelaide. Actually, I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. And I think the fact that you can watch every game on KO for free is great, isn't it? It's fantastic.
Fabulous. Yeah. I'm with you. I think Illawarra, our team, I think Southeast would be good. But I'm really looking forward to seeing those new teams. You know, I want to see how Adelaide's going to go. I want to see how, you know, the Tasmania will do with their new ones. New Zealand, very intriguing with players leaving, as we know. And Perth, well, you never underestimate Perth because, you know, they've got that man, Bryce Cotton.
And you've managed to get this deep into this podcast without even mentioning the Sydney Kings, which is extraordinary.
Yeah, well, look, I've said it plenty of times before. 4 coaches in 4 years. It's a whole new lineup. It's going to be tough for them, but I'm looking forward to seeing them. They've got a very talented team. They've recruited really well, but when you look over the last few years and you say goodbye to a newly now, obviously, and then you've got Kevin Lish and Kickett and, of course, Andrew Bogut and now Casper Ware, like it's a big chunks you're taking out of your teams. You know, obviously the coach is gone as well. I mean, we've said it so many times. You just need stability. Most of the teams win have got that stability. So it's an uphill battle for them, but certainly talent enough to do it.
Six new coaches out of 10 teams. And when I say new, I mean Adam Ford's not exactly new, but he's new at Cairns. So six faces in six new faces in different places. So that's very interesting. I don't think we've ever had that before. And I also think that this has been the most movement and the most exciting off-season that I can remember. Pretty much every club appears to have gotten better, except maybe the Champs. I think maybe the Champs.
Lost a lot.
Matthew Dellavedova, you go, whoa, Matthew Dellavedova, we've done pretty well there. But, yeah, as you say, you lose Jock, you lose a couple of these other guys, Mitch McCarron, Sam McDaniel, who he's just been speaking to.
That's three starters.
Scotty Hobson.
You take any team that's been really good, like United, you take three starters out of any team, and then you add Scotty Hobson in that as well. You know, is a starter sort of coming off the bench, a bit of both in your say, when you say.
Yep.
And then you got Dave Anderson, I know, sitting on the bench, but very good talker, very good. Yep. You know, it's a lot to go missing, but, you know, I've said it before, I think Delhi's going to have a good year. I think Chris will have a stellar year. Because I just think he'll get more shots up and everything of that nature. So, it's going to be a great year, mate. I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too. And I think Jack White,
he's the key. Yeah, he's the key.
How and when he comes back. He is the key.
I must admit, I love, again, what the NBL have done. You know, they've had to shift some games around because, obviously, Melbourne and Sydney can't get into Perth. So they've just rolled with the punches. Okay, well, we're still starting the season, but now Melbourne and Sydney, you're not going to Perth for the first 6 weeks and we'll fly other teams in and around. And they just keep rolling and it's great. And the season's going to be a beauty and really enjoying it. So, I think that's about it, isn't it?
Yep. As I said, we've got Wayne McDaniel coming up in a couple of weeks' time, and we've got a guest next week too. That'll be a nice surprise for our listeners.
Absolutely.
And
well,
now I've got to go because I have got a burger waiting for me from Burger Boss.
It's just
been delivered by Uber Eats. That's it. There was the knock on the door. Got to go.
God. He's using props now. I'm so sorry, everyone. He's using props. Thank you, everyone.
See
you. Yeah, it has been a while. Thank you, everyone. Please enjoy. Like we said, it's on KO. You can watch it free. Enjoy these games. It's going to be beauty. Body, have a fantastic weekend. And to everyone, Burger Boss, of course, thank you for everything they do for us, Piranha Media. And we'll see you next time.
So, Sam McDaniel was talking about the one-year deals and... If I'm not mistaken, Brett, didn't you say that you used to get one-year deals? Are you sure that's right? I thought you used to get one-week deals.
Hey, one season I signed 365 contracts. It was one contract per day.